Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by our good friend Michelle Knezovic coming up at 7:30, live from SEC Media Days down in Atlanta. Paul Kaharsky at 8 o'clock as well. The choice is yours later in the show at 8:45. So a lot coming up here today on the program. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked a lot this week about the ever-changing landscape of college sports, specifically college football, with football season right around the corner. The Big Ten with a gigantic move with UCLA and USC joining their conference coming up. Obviously, last year, Texas and Oklahoma making the move to the SEC, which I guess is still happening in 2025. Greg Sankey didn't have a great answer the other day about whether that could happen earlier or not, so we'll see. So 2025 is the scheduled time when Texas and Oklahoma can join the SEC. And I guess really the question is where it goes from here, because I think everybody feels like there's going to be continued expansion. The SEC will eventually add more teams. The Big Ten will eventually add more teams. And it'll basically become two super conferences in college athletics. And specifically in college football, it almost has like an AFC, NFC type feel to it at some point. I guess my question is, like, who are the teams that are left out there and the programs that are left out there from a football perspective that are really all that desirable? Obviously, we know one with Notre Dame that's going to be kind of that big fish that the SEC and the Big Ten are shooting for. But with the SEC the way it is right now, with the traditional powers like Bama and LSU and Georgia at the top of the game right now, Florida, I mean, you can go up and down the list. Texas and Oklahoma coming in, which are two of the most iconic brands in college football as well. I mean, I'll be honest, it kind of feels like the SEC's already won as they move forward here. That's the way I view it. Would you agree with that when it comes to the quote-unquote arms race between the SEC and the Big Ten?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. Is the SEC going to have more money? I don't know about that. But does the SEC have better football programs? I think so, yeah. I mean, just look at the last two ads, although Texas has been very underwhelming and disappointing.
Arch is coming. Don't worry.
That's right. Arch is here. That's still a program I expect to be very good, and Oklahoma has been. So UCLA has been really disappointing for a long time. USC's down. I think USC will bounce back. But I would say even – and then if you go before that, I think the SEC still had a little bit better quality across the board than the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten is still, it really is Ohio State and everyone else to some extent. There are plenty of other big programs with great resources and tradition and all that stuff, but it's Ohio State and everybody else. And the SEC is, it's at least Alabama, Georgia, and everybody else. I guess that's probably the right way to look at it, but then you just look at the potential and some recent, obviously LSU had one of the best teams ever a couple years ago, and Texas A&M. As long as their collective isn't totally dry now,
could be totally
whatever's
out of money
going on with Texas A&M's collective. But they've got all kinds of potential, too.
You're going to put some more money back in that collective, ain't you?
I mean, you know, they've got – look, when you've got the elite of the elite academic institution that they are, you got to spread the money around to different things.
This is one of the finest academic institutions in America, ain't it? Thank you, Jimbo.
God darn it. But eventually it's going to, I guess, get to like 20 and 20. You know, Blake Topmeyer wrote a column, and there's obviously a ton of what might it look like pieces after USC and UCLA went. And I hope Blake's vision doesn't happen. You know, I mean, his vision is 20 and 20, and that's it. And they play each other, and that's it. And that's the champion. And that's where I really hope that's not the case. I mean, I think you've got to still have access, excuse me, for others. That was a good mute, by the way.
It was
there by me. You got like I totally disagree. I understand the idea, AFC, NFC, and but there's still like there's still going to be worthwhile programs out there. Another interesting thing about Blake's model is, and I think this is the hard part. If you get to 20. And look at the SEC now. They've got Texas, Oklahoma coming in, and they've come up with this. They're going to get rid of divisions, and they've come up with a way so that you don't have one program and another program not seeing each other for like 8 years, right? Well, what happens when you get to 20? So Blake's idea is they play 11 games. You play 11 conference games, and then you got one non-league. I guess. And then what do? You just play the other side. You play one Big Ten game, and then the Big Ten they get one. I don't know. So what does that do? Well, all these programs out there that depend on these guarantees to pay their bills on a yearly basis, that's gone. You can see where this could be very damaging for a lot of college football. And again, to me, how much of the nation do you want to disenfranchise? So I hope that's not what happens. I really do. And I think that's the short-sighted approach that long-term hurts the sport. But we'll see. In the meantime, who are they going to go after? There's still some really good brands that I think both sides could potentially be interested in. I think it's probably going to be more West coming to the Big Ten.
Yep.
And then, I'm assuming like Clemson, Florida. This is the other thing, too, is like the ACC grant of rights situation is 2036.
Yeah.
Which there's going to be programs that break from that and pay the price, and it's going to be courtrooms and buyouts and like a lot of money. But still, like, it complicates things. Like, if you went that whole time with the ACC, the gap is just going to widen by so much between these two super leagues and you, which is crazy to think about, but it's just how it is.
Well, and, Greg Sankey, it was funny to watch him kind of navigate this the other day, because obviously he's not going to come out right and be like, yeah, man, I'm going to make a call with Florida State right after this press conference is over with. Like, well, Notre Dame, they're all on my call sheet for this week to try to get them to come over to the SEC. We know he's not going to do that, but he did basically, we'll keep our options open as we move forward in the future. Like, he did not just totally shy away from, we're not shooting anything down in terms of expansion. Like, he knows how this works, and some of this is going to be up to individual programs. Like, to me, if you're and I know there's more to it than just football, but football is really the driver of this. If you're a power football program like a Clemson or like a Florida State or a Miami or whoever you want to throw out there in the ACC right now, like, you've got to be looking around at what's going on right now and thinking, we got to get to one of these two conferences. How do we do it? And that's, I would imagine that those are conversations that are going on as we speak right now. That alliance that was formed last year, that got broken pretty quickly by USC and UCLA. Yeah. And it lasted very long. So
that went well.
I imagine those are, there are some conversations to that nature going on right now with some of these other football programs and athletic departments.
If I'm the big, and Notre Dame is the big, the big catch, obviously. And I could see a scenario, and this is where, like, Blake's idea. What if Notre Dame doesn't go to either one of them? They're not going to just confine it to those two leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, Notre Dame, to me, if Notre Dame, it basically comes down to, like, what they view as the financial implications over a long period of time. If they decide to stay independent, they're going to have a seat. So it almost might be better for college football if Notre Dame says, yep, see ya, you guys do whatever you want with your little, NFC, AFC juniors.
We'll be over here.
We're going to be over here, and you know that you're going to – because you have to still – there's going to be some good programs out there that could potentially be really good in a given year, I think. Now, granted, over time, does that change because of the financial divide? Maybe. But also – like, if I was the Big Ten, well, if I was either of these sides, I'd want Duke and North Carolina, because I don't think you just dismiss basketball. What if they were in your league? If you're the Big Ten, you already have Maryland, which was a great rivalry with both of those programs. And I think, you know, you've got a pretty good football – and both of those – and I know that this is way down the list in reality, but these are still college presidents involved in this stuff. So to add them, those are two very good academic schools. Obviously, Duke's an elite private institution. Like that, to me, it's not a football angle to this, but that's a worthwhile pursuit for sure to have that in your league. Think about the basketball that you would have.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting part of this. And how much does – the basketball, especially when you're talking about programs like that, Duke and North Carolina, I think those are probably the two best examples of teams that have elite basketball programs where football is, and like North Carolina's been good the last few years. David Cutcliffe got Duke to where it was respectable over the last decade, but it's not, college football is not the driver there for sure. It is college basketball.
And it's, I've heard this idea of, and this would involve Vanderbilt, the elite academic institutions breaking off and doing like their own little mini Ivy thing. Northwestern, Wake Forest, Duke, Vanderbilt, you know, something like that. But if you talk to the people at those schools, like, no, I think these checks sound pretty good. Let's go ahead and get these checks. And, of course, Vanderbilt and Northwestern are in position to collect them already.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on SEC, Big Ten expansion coming up next. Matt, we'll get to your thought on the text line as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll be joined by Michelle Knezovic coming up at 7:30, live from SEC Media Days down in Atlanta. Right now, taking your thoughts on SEC and Big Ten expansion on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So Dave in Big Rock texting in says, another aspect that I haven't heard you guys talk about is that college football funds other sports at a lot of universities. I wonder how this will affect college sports as a whole if you're at one of those universities that falls outside of the major competitive conferences. This is coming from Dave in Big Rock on the text line.
Oh, no doubt. No, look, I mean, this is going to be, moving forward, I think it's going to absolutely greatly benefit the other sports at these schools that are in these leagues. If the, you know, Dabo Swinney was asked yesterday about the gap, and again, the projections have it that essentially the Big Ten and SEC are going to have $50 million more per school per year down the road than the ACC. And Dabo's point was, well, you know, we're Clemson, and he's right on some of what he said, essentially to paraphrase, no one's come here because of the ACC, they come here because of Clemson. We're Clemson, we're going to be Clemson. And he said, I worked at Alabama, it wasn't the SEC, it was Alabama, which is true. Although I do think people in the Big Ten and ACC have already, I think that's something that people talk about, like being the best league.
Yeah.
But moving forward, it's going to be just a big difference. And that should mean a lot for everything you can think about with the other programs. I mean, I think that some of the – now you may have, you know, elite programs in other leagues that are going to stay that way because of tradition. And maybe, you know, they have great facilities, they have tradition, they have great coach. I mean, it's not like you're going to just blow everybody away who's not in one of these two leagues. But
I mean, my God, the Pac-12 is the conference of champions.
Well, that's, I mean,
that's what they say.
Yeah, well, and the Pac-12 has, I mean, they have incredible teams in a lot of sports, volleyball, swimming, you know. I mean, they do have a lot of really good programs, but that's, you look at that now, and outside of the teams who have, you know, the two teams who are now Big Ten bound, there's going to be a gap over time. You still have like a Stanford, for example. Stanford, like every year, is like up there in like the Director's Cup, right? I think it's the Director's Cup, which is like tallying all the sports. You know, they've great program, and it's a private school, and maybe they'll be fine. But man, you think about $50 million less or whatever than UCLA and USC is getting, so. If you're recruiting the same kids in the state of California, which obviously is loaded with talent in every sport, How do you stop yourself from losing some of those kids that you're used to getting to them now? I mean, it's. I think there's definitely going to be an impact.
Sam on the text line says, I want to see four conferences with relegation between the top two and the bottom two. It's coming from Sam on the text line. We brought up relegation a little bit yesterday with Jeff Schultz from The Athletic. I mean, I never really hate the idea of relegation. It's pretty
funny
fun to think
talk about.
Yeah, but yeah. Putting it into practice is a different thing.
Yeah, it's funny to talk about. I'm here for it. I'd be surprised if it actually happened. Someone asked about Baylor too. Yeah. I mean, Baylor, TCU, look at what TCU's done with its football program and basketball. Baylor has obviously, I mean, has had its ups and downs. But,
oh, yeah.
I mean, Baylor for decades was just nothing. And now they've come so far, and now it's like, man, where do you go from here? And obviously you're talking about an elite basketball program. Again, I think in some of these situations, when you have a great coach and you have things built in, you have donors maybe who specifically donate to that program, you can be fine. But this is also why you can go all around. I mean, what's going to happen with Kansas? Talking about one of the top top three basketball programs of all time. What's going to happen? This is why, the idea of cutting off access to everyone else is stupid. It would be a huge mistake. And I don't think that's the way it's going to go.
I don't think so either. It's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out from a football standpoint, because I do wonder, if you're the SEC, like, you're not just going to take anybody and everybody that wants to join your conference. Like, how do you go about being selective about this? And who's the right part of this? Who's the right program? You know, Greg Sankey made some jokes the other day about geography. Like, obviously, geography doesn't mean much to Big Ten anymore.
I guess that means he's not going after Oregon.
I guess, right? So.
Like, he's going to immediately make himself a hypocrite.
Well, we did have somebody on the text line ask, like, should the SEC, I think it was Matt on the text line, says, does the SEC need a new name? Like, are they going to have to change their name?
Well, the good thing
move forward.
Well, the good thing about the SEC is that that isn't confining you to a number. As the Big Ten proved when they added Penn State, and then since then, they're just going to keep calling themselves the Big Ten. Doesn't matter what the actual number is.
24 teams, yeah.
Someone here says, what about the SEC 32 and four divisions? Again, like, I don't want this to just be those teams. You know, so it's whether it's that 32 teams, which is ridiculous, and four divisions, or – but, I mean
– well, this is my – like, they're talking about getting rid of divisions. You get 20 teams in the SEC, you have to have divisions. Like, you can't – like, you can't just have a big conference of 20 and not have divisions, can you?
Well, you could. I hate divisions because – once you have time periods where all of a sudden you've seen it, certainly in the Big Ten recently, where it's like all the good programs are on one side.
Right.
And it's just like, so some crappy team from this side gets to play in the title game every year.
It's been that way in the SEC West before too, where you've had the top two or three programs have been in the West and the East has been down.
So to me, the tie-breaking stuff can be complicated, but I'd rather see that. Will from Nashville asking, and this is someone on the test line yesterday was like, I've heard that Vanderbilt's trying to get out. They're going to the ACC. Yes, Vanderbilt's like, please,
we don't
let's
want that
go
money.
Get way less money. We're a charter member of the SEC, but yes, let's go to the ACC. Will's saying, I occasionally hear Vanderbilt may get asked to leave. Now, that I don't know. Will they get asked to leave at some point? I don't know. But he's saying obviously they won't choose to leave, part with hundreds of millions. No question. Vanderbilt's not voluntarily leaving the SEC, and I'm really the idea of these weaker football programs eventually being bounced out of there is interesting. I guess it's possible, but there is more to it. There are other sports, there is academics, there is tradition, even though it's just getting shredded left and right. I mean, whatever you can preserve of tradition seems to me like it might be a good thing to do.
You would think. I just, when you get to, like, if you're somebody like me who is approaching 30 years old, let's say you're even older than me, and you've been around these parts for a long time, and SEC football, like, it's what you do in the fall. Like, I told you this before. I love the NFL. I love hockey. College football, like, might be my favorite season, just single season in sports, like, it may be college football. Now, that's changed a little bit over the last few years, but I love college football. Like, are you excited about this? If you're a longtime SEC fan. Like, part of it, I will admit, is pretty intriguing. Like, Texas and Oklahoma coming in, I don't know if I was for it at first. Now it kind of excites me. Like, I think it's going to be pretty cool when Texas and Oklahoma come in. So, I like that part of it. I didn't like it at first. Will I eventually get to the point where, I don't know, Florida State and Clemson and Baylor and whoever else come into the SEC, and I'm just like, sure, come on in. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me today sitting here right now having this discussion thinking I'm going to get there. Like, you can have too much of a good thing and it ruins it. Like, I do wonder, like, if you're an SEC fan who's been around for a long time, does this excite you? Or do you just hate this?
That's a good question. I think if you're an SEC fan, at least, I mean, think about, it's better than being like an ACC fan.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, Pac-12, so, I mean, yeah.
At least your team, your school is in great position, you know, especially if you're not one of those programs that's being talked about as possibly getting asked to leave, which I go back and forth on whether that's actually a possibility or not. But I hear you. And it's funny. It is like one of those things that over time, because I agree with you, Texas Oklahoma at first, like, what? And, of course, it was like, Greg Sankey, you evil genius. Yep. But, I mean, that makes sense compared to USC, UCLA, and the Big Ten. I mean, Sankey's not wrong about that, even though you got to be careful with the throwing stones in glass houses.
I just always go back to the geography part. Like, as we all know, the Southeast stretches from Missouri to western Texas at some point. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Another question here is, how bad does this dilute the Bowls, the Rose Bowl especially? Well, now, this is a great question, and Staples had a really interesting point in his piece the other day about the playoff. Obviously, the Bowls have been so important. I mean, the Rose Bowl, which, look, I love the Rose Bowl, but it's had such a powerful role in all this. Like, we must, you know, we're still going to play at the same time, and in the years that it's, you know, semifinal, you move it around, you go New Year's Eve and all this stuff. When it's not a semifinal, the Staples brought up the point, you know, these TV execs, they like home games. So are we seeing the Bowls actually about to be losing some clout here? May not be the worst thing. Are we going to see fewer Bowls involved in this postseason, however it looks, and have basically home sites, and then maybe like the Rose Bowl be a semifinal all the time?
You can't play football games in cold weather. That's what we learned from Bob Bowlesby last year.
You can't do it. How could we possibly do that? The NFL plays all of its games in Haiti. Like, what? Yeah.
Josh on the text line says, I'm really worried this is going to take my zest for college football away, sadly. It's coming from Josh on the text line. I do wonder how many people end up feeling that way.
Well, I think the people, and that's the thing, you know, Chris Vanini did a poll of a group of five fans, and there's a lot of that kind of sentiment out there. And it's just the people who are going to be disenfranchised. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of programs, fans, regions of the country. That's what you worry about. I still feel like the fans of these programs, you're going to have the same Saturdays, and you're going to have great games. And look, there are positives. Like, if you have a compelling game every week, imagine that. You know, it's not the case now. Things have gotten very diluted on the scheduling front. That's a lot. That's high pressure for coaches, because coaches like to pad their records with three wins every year.
They do,
and have a little bit more safety that way. But for the fans who are going to be asked to pay more and more to watch these games, you know, that's one, I think, certain positive out of all this. I still think the passion is going to be there for the programs that are not left in the cold.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Michelle Knezovic, live from SEC Media Days in Atlanta. We'll get her thoughts on all the things that have gone down in Atlanta so far, some comments from Greg Sankey, and Tennessee coming up in a few days as well. See if Michelle can keep it on the rails with Kentucky down there today. It's a big day for her down there.
Who was she talking to? We have to give her some crap. She was talking to somebody. She had a really good interview. I think it was Dennis Dodd, and she's like, well, you know, in the SEC, you got Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky. I'm like, oh, you mentioned them next, didn't you,
get
Michelle?
Get them in there right after those two. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And our fearless leader, Michelle Knezovic, not in Nashville, Tennessee, down in Atlanta, Georgia at SEC Media Days. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in, Michelle Knezovic, here to the program. Michelle, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, guys. The gang's finally back together. What has it been, 2 full weeks?
I know.
Thanks to Rex Road.
It's been a while.
Don't even know what it's like to be back on the show with Michelle. How's it going down there at SEC Media Days? What stood out to you so far?
Guys, so this is my first SEC Media Day I've covered, and I know that it's traditionally in Alabama, but in Atlanta and having it in the College Football Hall of Fame, it's, like, really awesome just to see all the memorabilia, and Caroline and I are going to, you know, walk through. But they have all these old jerseys, and it's just, like, SEC heaven. But this is, like, nonstop, go, 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 24-7. It's been a great experience so far. There's been nothing short to talk about between NIL, conference expansion, you know, the transfer portal. So I feel like this year the storylines have been pretty much focused around that. And to be honest, we haven't been talking much about on-the-field stuff just because of college football as a whole and the picture being a little blurry. But what stood out to me so far, I guess the overarching thing is nobody really knows what the future of college football is going to look like.
There is that, no question about it. You had a great conversation yesterday with Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach. What just kind of stood out to you from that and from Vanderbilt's media day as a whole yesterday, heading into year two with Clark Lee?
Yeah, so we talked to Clark yesterday, and, I mean, we've had him on the show all through his first season, pretty much every week, and we know that, you know, Vanderbilt didn't win a game in the SEC. And I asked him that. I said, like, you know, how do you keep your team, like, focused and still motivated to, you know, come and show up every single day? And he was like, it's a part of the plan. And we know Clark is, when he speaks, people listen. And we could even see that, too, when talking to Mike Wright and the other Vanderbilt players there. But he made a big point to note that his team is far ahead of the team last year at this point in the year. And he specifically mentioned their offensive line. He said that the line named themselves. Are you guys ready? I know you love your naming lines and everything.
My favorite. Rex Road,
the Grease Gang.
Oh, yeah.
So they came pretty up good. With this all on their own. I think this is an amazing name. But, I mean, obviously, we'll have to wait and see, but he says he's really impressed by his offensive line ahead of where they were last year. And just as a team as a whole, right, he's heading into his second year. He harps on trust and that he just has another year of trust under his players. And he also talked about how he's really impressed with Kent Fields, right? He named Mike Wright the starting quarterback, who started the last five out of the six games last season, and now he also announced yesterday that Mike Wright will be the starter moving forward. But he also harped on, too, that, like, Ken Seals, it would have been very easy for him just to put his name in the transfer portal and say, you know what, like, I'm not starting. I'm going to put my name in the transfer portal, weigh my options, try to go get a starting job somewhere else. But he wants to stay here at Vanderbilt, and it's just going to build more competition in the quarterback room. So I think that was also a huge point set out by Clark.
Who's been the most impressive player to come through Radio Row? What do you think has been the best press conference? And who's the most annoying media member that you've encountered so far? You can name names. It's fine.
Okay, most impressive player so far. I'm going to go right back to Vanderbilt. I think that Mike Wright, he is so well-spoken. And for only being a sophomore, I was like, you are so mature. When asked, you know, about the Vanderbilt program, just spoke so highly about them. Just seems like he's going to be a great leader on the team. And also Clark mentioned that he is just, he's not trying to be a leader, but it just comes naturally to him and people just gravitate towards him. And you can definitely tell when Caroline and I spoke to him yesterday. The next one, best press conference, I mean, come on. Mike Leach by a freaking mile.
Oh, yeah.
That guy is absolutely hilarious. So Caroline and I sometimes we can't listen to them live because where Radio Row is set up, we're kind of upstairs, and then we can overlook the press conferences. But if we're interviewing people coming through Radio Row, we'll go back and listen. And he just gets, first off, if you're listening to this right now and haven't listened to it, go YouTube the press conference and listen to the full thing.
It's pretty
great.
He
just gets up there and he's like, questions, go. It's like, okay, no opening statement. Just let it rip. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, he's just like coughing into the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
But he is amazing. I also think, though, he had some good points. People were like, are you on Jimbo's side or Saban's side? And he had a really good point about, you know, right now we need to decide, are these college athletes or are these amateur athletes? So he also did have some good information in there other than his Buffalo wrangling stories. And then annoying media member, really, Joe? Come on. I'm still breaking in the industry. I don't know names, like a lot of names of people yet. Joe probably knows everybody who asked these questions. But it's just so interesting to me, some of the questions asked. Like yesterday, I think when Saban stood up there, somebody was like, it was raining outside. Did you stop the rain when you got up to the podium? And I was like, what?
That's
that?
Your boy.
Talk about stopping the rain, Coach Saban.
Yeah. Can you please talk about that?
Well, have you come to be familiar with Bob Holt yet?
Well, that's who asked that question.
That was Bob Holt?
Yes.
Bob Holt asked the rain question?
Yes, he did.
Oh, man. You break my heart, Bob Holt. Because Bob Holt is the guy who, he's always in the front row to the right, and he always, like, he asks every single person, I think multiple questions, pretty much.
Yeah.
He's been covering Arkansas since, like, 81. You guys should have him on. And berate him for asking the rain question. My God.
So, Michelle, Arkansas, also, Florida, and go ahead, Michelle.
Oh, I was just going to say, also, you know how you guys talk about the media in the South?
Oh, yeah.
Like, big fans. Yeah, definitely different. Some of these southern media schools and all that.
Oh, yeah. You can find
some.
Like,
oh, now I understand where Rex Road's coming from.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait a minute now. You were formed in the BBN Homer. Come on. You already are familiar with this Homerism in the SEC.
Is Matt Jones walking around down
yeah,
there?
Yeah, come on. Yeah, like Matt Jones has every piece of paraphernalia you could put on yourself.
He lived in a BBN house.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, and Kentucky today, which means Sam Pittman, Billy Napier, Kirby Smart, and Mark Stoops. Get excited over there, Rex Road. What are you outside of Kentucky? What are you most interested to see and what happens today at SEC Media Days?
I'm excited to see Billy Napier speak. Obviously, it's his first year head coach of Florida. And Caroline and I spoke about this on the show and kind of throughout the last couple of days because one of the biggest questions has been, okay, you've obviously got Alabama and Georgia as the front two runners in the SEC, however you want to place them. But that third spot, I think I've heard – between reporters, you know, media members, throw out practically any other team in the SEC that could be up for that third spot. I mean, Florida still has a big question mark for obvious reasons. We just, last year, and the Dan Mullen just debacle and that team kind of just dumpster fire towards the end of the year. And don't really know what that team is going to look like under a first-year head coach. Arkansas has been another team that people have been talking about, but still a big question mark because they lost one of their star wide receivers, Treylon Burks. His name has come up quite a bit when speaking about Arkansas. But today I'm kind of just looking to see, you know, what these, and the hard thing is right, these coaches are obviously going to speak, you know, yeah, like super excited for the season. They're going to tell us that they look great and everything like that. I'm excited for some of the players to come through. It's been interesting to get some of the players' perspective and actually being able to ask them about name, image, and likeness and ask a couple of the Vanderbilt players about it. You know, like, how does it work? How do you guys go about getting deals? Because when you ask, like, coaches, administration about it, they still are kind of trained to not talk about it. But it's like, okay, now we can ask the players about it. Like, how is it working and all these things. So excited for some of the players to come through today. And then, obviously, so excited for Kentucky to speak today because, they're going to be the third best team in the SEC.
Your next national champions. It'll be fun to see what they say today.
We're looking forward to 6-6 from the Wildcats this year.
Oh, Hey, hey, Michelle, you don't sound hungover. Remember, I told you in Caroline that's the only way to cover that event. So let's start getting after it here, okay?
Caroline and I, first off, Joe Rex Road, I don't know how you would actually do that because at the end of the day at 7 o'clock, Caroline and I pretty much get there. We're going to head there right after this. And then we're there till about 7 because it's, you know, Eastern time. The show's an hour later. We're like get dinner and we're in bed. And then last night we're in this hotel and we have an alarm in our hotel going off for over an hour at 4 a.m.
Oh, no.
So today is just going to be, it's like safety alarm, like not a fire alarm. And I asked people in the elevator this morning, like, did you hear this alarm? And they're like, yeah, we have no idea what was happening last night. So today should be very, very interesting.
It's probably like Lane Kiffin playing a prank on Mike Leach in your hotel. It's probably something like that.
Well, Michelle, you and Caroline are doing a great job down there. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon. Listen for you at 2 o'clock today here on the program.
Thank you guys so much, and can't wait for the gang to all be back together. I'll be in studio Friday morning.
There we go. Michelle Knezevic live from SEC Media Days down in Atlanta, Georgia, Arkansas, Florida, and Kentucky. On the docket today, our SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, equipment supplier in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, and hose fittings, seals, packing, joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. Once again, that's Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. We'll get to that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Here comes the sun.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. With this beautiful music bringing us back in here today. There was some talk on the Beatles while you were out.
No, I'm sure it was brilliant. It's not one of my favorite Beatles songs, but it's pretty great.
We need to mix it around a little bit, though. Every Beatles song we play, you recognize, well, it's not one of my favorites.
I mean, I can play the dozens and dozens and dozens that are my favorites, okay. If you'd like.
So we've yet to come across one that we've played on the show where Rex is like, oh, yeah, okay, this is good. All right, cool.
Well, because what do we play? We play that one. It's on the greatest album of all time, so I'll give it credit for that, but it's like the 15th best song on the album.
So my rant today, other than yelling about the Beatles, is basically old man yelling at cloud. But I'm going to do it anyway because this has been something that's bothered me for a long time, and it's not happened to me recently as in the last couple of days, but it has happened this summer and is really a continual thing that goes on when I'm at different places and establishments throughout the world. It's cutting in line, okay? Now, let me start by saying this. I think there are times and scenarios where cutting in line is acceptable. For instance, if your children are younger or trying to find you in line, I have all the patience in the world for that. You need to be reunited with your children, all these things. That's fine. What I don't have patience for, and this really happens in three scenarios that really just, it grinds my gears. And I think what grinds my gears the most about it is it's just an accepted practice throughout the world that this is okay and this is acceptable. So I'll give you the first example. This happened a couple of months ago, I guess about a month and a half ago, at CMA Fest. So I'm going to CMA Fest downtown at Nissan Stadium. It's the last night there. You know, my wife and I are, I think I was going on vacation that week, so we were kicking off vacation and we're going to CMA Fest. So we get there a little early. There's a line. It's not a bad line to get in Nissan Stadium, but we have to wait in line. So we wait, 10, 15 minutes to for them to open the doors and move up and get in line. And about, 8 or 9 minutes into it, this couple just comes running up and joins this other couple in line up in the front. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we've all been sitting here for 15 minutes and you get to just run up to the front? And that's acceptable? Like, nobody bats an eyelash about that? Here's the beautiful part about this. You've got these things called tickets. And whether you're standing in line with your friend or whether you're not standing in line with your friend, the magical thing is you're going to end up where you need to be with the tickets. So why don't you just wait like everybody else has done and get in and you can meet your friends on the concourse. You can get to the tickets. This is a very, very, very common thing at amusement parks. So Disney World is like, the happiest place on earth. What makes me very unhappy at Disney World is you're sitting in this line and you're waiting for 35 minutes and these people have been off, you know, gallivanting around on this other ride, and 35 minutes go by and they come running up to the front because their friends are in line. Great. I'm glad that you have friends, but what right does that give you to just run past me? You've got 8 friends now that are ahead of me and haven't had to wait in this line, and they just get to run past me. And people never say anything. Like, they never do anything about this. They're just like, oh, yeah, I guess they were just holding a place in line for this person. They can just run right past us. I know we've been waiting for 35 minutes, and these people don't have to wait at all. It drives me nuts. People try to do this in concession stand lines, at Titans games, or Preds games, and it drives me nuts. Stand in the line. There are limited scenarios where I think cutting in line is okay. The 3 that I've just laid out there are not acceptable to me, and it drives me insane, and this is a big problem that has gone largely unaddressed in our nation today.
This is a really interesting one, because I've seen all these scenarios, and at times it's almost like, to me, it's like it depends on the exact situation. Like the concert thing you're talking about, I guess to me it's like, well, you're all going to get, like you said, you're all going to get in. So like that wouldn't bother me. But it's tough because it's like, are you allowed to save a place in line for other adults? I mean, I think some people would, I guess I've kind of been okay with it, but.
Like, I'm more okay with the saving seats. Like, if you're somewhere and you need to save a seat for somebody. Like, this used to be the thing at the movie theater, which now it's not because you pick your seats out online ahead of time, yeah. So it's been taken away. But it used to be like, hey, you show up to the movie theater, hey, these 2 seats are saved. Like, that never really bothers me. But like the concert line, you're all getting in there, yeah, but you're all getting in there and there's a ticket. So why do you need to be standing in line with your friends when we've been waiting for 10 minutes and you just get to run up to the front?
I would agree that like the amusement park line, because if you're sitting there forever and ever and ever, and then it's just other
adults. 8 people run up?
I guess it's almost like, what's the number? Because if it's a huge, like if it's one person and there's a huge group, that totally
changes. I could
probably
let that go. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying if there's like one person in line and then a bunch of people come up to join them, see, that's to me not cool. But if it's 3 people in line and one of them had to go to the bathroom and whatever, like it took 20 minutes and they come, I don't care about that.
Sure.
I think it's like if you totally change the, it alters how long you're going to wait. You don't get on until the next time because of this many people. But what is the exact, like, what is proper etiquette there?
That's, well, for me, it's usually about 2 people, then I lose my cool. But I have a character flaw that has a lack of patience. So there's that goes along with it too. But it's more to me like I don't know if it's really the act itself. The act itself does bother me, but it's more the, oh, I can just do this. I'm going to just go do this. I'm not going to ask. I'm just running up there. These people are saving me a spot in line, and I'm going, and I don't care what any of you people behind me think. This is my time, and I'm getting up there. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I think a lot of times people are, well, they're a little bit sheepish about it, so they just sort of, I hope no one notices.
Yeah.
You never see anybody say anything. I mean, I can't say that I've never had a situation where there was a big line and I left or something and then came back. We've also had it where the kids have held the place. So the kids are in line and then we join them, which is obviously, if it's the other way around, no one gets mad about that, right?
Sure.
I don't know. This is an interesting question.
What is the cutoff age there? Because I don't, like, little kids, you can cut in front of me all day long. If you're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I don't care. Whatever. Cut in front of me. If you're like 16 and 17, like, I start to lose patience for them. Like, you're old enough to be walking by yourself and be out on your own and doing stuff then. Like, I start to lose patience for the kids cutting in line at that point.
And, like, I mean, let's face it, teenagers are most likely to, like, just do things like that and other annoying things.
Yes, they are.
For the most part. it's a really interesting debate maybe on what is proper etiquette with this. I hadn't really thought about that, but I definitely, I get bothered when it's a big number, when it's like when it changes, like, oh crap, no, now we're actually going to wait another 10 minutes than we thought.
Yeah.
Because this whole crew of people just showed up.
Well, this happens all the time. Like, I'm trying to determine of the 3 scenarios that I threw out there, what is the most annoying, whether that be, you know, the concert line, or you could put a sporting line in there, the amusement park line. But I think the winner is the concession stand line, because you're sitting there. Let's say you're at a Titans game and you're waiting to get food at halftime, and you're sitting there for 10 minutes waiting on your beer or whatever it is that you're going to get. And then all of a sudden somebody from section 332 comes running over here because their friend's in line, and they feel like, oh, I'll just magically go up there with them. And it's one thing if it's like the same order. Like if you jump in front of me and it's just one order and they're buying it, whatever.
Then they need to go up together.
Right. But when you get there and you're like, oh, I got to figure out what I want to eat now, and we'll pay for it separately. Like, get to the back of the line. What are you doing?
That's true. No, you're right. That because you know how when you're in those concessions, like, you're like, man, are those people together? I hope so. Like, oh, please tell me it's not all individuals, because then it's going to be that much longer. Yeah, that's for sure. If you get into that line with somebody, then you go up to the counter with them. Like, that one we should all be able to agree on.
Nate on the text line says, next time I go meet my friends at the front of the line, I will ask every single person behind them if that's okay. That's all I'm asking for, Nate.
No, you won't, Nate. I don't believe you, Nate. No one does that. No one does that.
No, they don't.
No.
And this will never change, because no one ever says anything about it either. Now, I have said something about it before.
Yeah.
I made somebody feel pretty bad.
Like, did you?
Hey, man, this is not a charity up here. Did you head to the back of the line? We've been waiting for a reason.
Did he do it?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So, there you go. I like it.
This has been the Rob Rant. You can check out our rants every morning at 7:45. Here on the program. Coming up next,
speaking of rants,
we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from Outkick 360 and paulkuharsky.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.